Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, call the jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that. And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period.
Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up, and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Today's episode is brought to you by CBDMD. January is an important time to set the tone for the new year, and in 2021, that has never been more true. Luckily, our friends at CBDMD are here to give you the support you need to conquer your New Year's resolutions and make this year your best one yet. And if those resolutions haven't happened to involve fitness, they've got a brand new topical product that'll help you keep moving all year long. To make it even easier and get your year started off right, they're offering all of our listeners 20% off your next order when you use the promo code NBA at checkout. Once again, CBDMD.com, promo code NBA for 20% off your purchase. Superior CBD products from CBDMD. Matt, welcome back. Very excited for this episode today. It's my favorite episode of the week, usually, despite Bulls wins. Usually Bulls wins are my favorite to talk about, but mailbag today. But first and foremost, man, how are you? How you doing? Hopefully you can ignore some of the Bears news coming out today.
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, I don't need that negative crap in my life right now. I'm more than okay to just focus on the Bulls now that the Bears season is over. But yeah, kind of a weird dry spell for Bulls fans right now. I guess we got used to that, you know, from March to December with no Bulls basketball games. But after the the culmination of the 4-game West Coast trip with the loss to the Clippers on Sunday, now, you know, today's Wednesday and yesterday's game against the Celtics postponed. Hopefully we will see the Bulls play against the Thunder on Friday, but so still kind of like a whole week or at least a whole work week without games. And in the meantime, more NBA games getting postponed left and right across the league as they continue to struggle and try to deal with these health and safety protocols that have a lot of players on the shelf for COVID reasons.
100%, and they're still dealing with the Kyrie Irving situation, and we heard some reports about what's going to be the eventual fallout from that. It seems like he's going to be heavily fined, and they're still looking into the video too. The details are so complicated. I just quickly skimmed it. I was like, you know what? I'm not a Nets fan, so he's not coming here, so I could care less. I got other things to worry about on this Bulls team specifically. But yeah, with the James Harden news too coming out, it is a little bit shocking. I guess it shouldn't be shocking, but the NBA canceling or postponing 3 games today, 2 yesterday as well. So you've heard too, Matt, like a couple of players have started to speak out a little bit more about the NBA tightening their protocols and trying to tighten down, at least for the next couple of weeks, some of the things they're doing in game. And we talked a little bit about it yesterday, but man, I mean, again, if they don't address the issue about the guests coming in on the road in their clause, I mean, all of this is for nothing. At least that's how I see it.
Right. Which is why I was glad to see that was one of the things Woj tweeted about when they were going over the new changes and the new rules, at least for the next 2 weeks to try to get this under control. No more guests, no more visitors in your hotel when you're on the road. Because to you and me and everybody who heard that, that seemed like a glaringly obvious problem and something that should have been a rule in the first place when they were trying to do the, you know, no bubble NBA season. And, you know, we get that these players are already being asked to give up a lot as far as their personal freedoms of what they normally do during an NBA season, whether they are at home or on the road. But these are the realistic pieces of context in which the, you know, the league is trying to get through. And we, you know, we talked a little bit yesterday about how all of this is like about money and the league making money. But bottom line, the players and the Players Association agreed to do this. There was clearly a bridge that had to be reached between them and the league as far as how many games, these exact rules and specifications, salary cap stuff, you know, the CBA that require all kinds of special, you know, tipping and towing to make this season happen. But the Players Association agreed to it. They signed on the dotted line to say, fine, we'll start a couple of days before Christmas. We'll finish before the Olympics. Let's do this. Let's just get through this. They agreed to it. So, you know, George Hill, for example, saying, I'm a grown man. If I want to see my family, I'll see my family. If we aren't doing this, then, or, you know, if I can't do that, then maybe we shouldn't be playing at all. I understand the reasoning to his argument, and maybe we shouldn't be playing these games at all. But as a member of the Players Association, you did agree to this. And by the way, every time you show up to a game, you are collecting your, you know, 100K plus game day check. So, you know, I'm going to do what I want to do only goes so far if you sign on the dotted line, so to speak, and agree to play this season with these rules and regulations in place.
Totally. And And George Hill probably didn't think he was going to get traded this offseason, too. Might have differed from him thinking of opting in and opting out, being with OKC now. But I'm sure there's plenty of other players that feel like they want to still continue because they need to make that paycheck. Other guys have been paid well. George Hill's made plenty of money in his career, and so have plenty of other guys in this league, too. My standing on it, Matt, was simply the NBA gave all these players a clause to opt out of this season if they still didn't feel comfortable, the same way that they did with the bubble. I'm totally cool with that. Even if players midway through the season, right now, at the peak of the worst part of this NBA schedule in terms of games being canceled, players having to go into protocol, if guys don't feel comfortable and they want to opt out of this season, I will give them no grievance for that. No, none whatsoever. I totally understand that. So if George Hill wants to see his family, then like, man, it's hard for people to sympathize with those types of thoughts when you're making millions of dollars and at the same time, everybody else that is fans of your team in this league, in this country and around the world, are dealing with the same exact problems. We've all been dealing with those problems for the entire year. So, I mean, there's a little bit of a give and take, and it's what they agreed to. So if, you know, I hate to say it, but if you don't like it, then opt out. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Right. I don't think you should be given shit for that either.
No, the Bears sure could have used Eddie Goldman this past season on their defensive front line, but Eddie Goldman decided to opt out of the 2020 NFL season and not play, citing concerns about COVID-19 and putting the health of himself and his family first. And every single person in Bears Nation said, yep, good call, buddy. That's your decision, and we completely respect it. So any one of these NBA players who wanted to do something similar at the onset of this season and say, you know what, you know, grinding through the bubble for a couple of months was one thing, and it certainly wasn't great, and I hated not being, you know, around my family for that long, but trying to do this on the road without a bubble through all of these different rules and regulations, and we'll feel like we're basically just trapped wherever we are, whether we're at home or on a road trip, we're not allowed to do anything, we're not allowed to go anywhere, this sounds miserable, and I'm further risking my health and safety along with those that I care about because we're going to be traveling around all over and your likelihood of contracting the virus is greater the more you travel. So I'm not going to play this season. Every single NBA fan would say, fine, totally respect that. Your call, your decision. Good for you. But don't opt in and then whine about it, especially when you consider the hardships that the, you know, average Americans are facing right now, still because this pandemic is raging. And they aren't collecting $130,000 every time they step on a basketball court. have a little bit of perspective when you complain about stuff like that.
And dude, I'm somebody that is absolutely filled with empathy. Like, it's almost to my fault. It's almost like one of my weaknesses because I let it play mind games with myself. But it's just a lack of, I think, understanding and empathy for regular people in this country and what we go through every single day. And like, I get it. They go through a shit ton of stuff too. I had a bunch of empathy for them in the bubble too. But think about that too, even. I think about that as a huge factor. Is like, the bubble was set up a lot nicer, and guys could lean on each other when they're having bad days, and it doesn't necessarily have to be your 11 or 12 other teammates. It could be 100 different guys in the NBA when they're all quarantined in this same bubble in the NBA. When they're not there now, you're not in nice weather every day. You're having to travel, basically be isolated by yourself. Of course it's going to suck. The only thing I would say is to these guys is like, ask not Nasir Little how he's dealing with COVID right now. Go read up on his story. Look at what COVID did to Kendrick Nunn trying to come back to the bubble. It took him forever, and he's still not back to what he was at the start of the season last year in his rookie season. So like, those two examples alone to me just say like, man, if I totally get it, if you want to spend time with your family, I'm with you 100%. Then just because there's other guys in this league that need to make money and want to continue to play, and ultimately the league's not going to stop unless they absolutely have to, because again, everything revolves around money, man.
It does, for the league and for the players.
Correct.
So, you know, nobody was going to enjoy this season that had to deal with it. I mean, obviously the fans wanted the season to happen, and you know, even just watching some of these Bulls games, yeah, the team is 4-7, but we've talked about how encouraging it is to see some growth from some of these individuals and the team as a whole. And they look like they're believing in their level of competition and all of these things. And as fans, we were, you know, almost like in a way dying of thirst to see some Bulls basketball again, because we all waited so long as a non-bubble team. Yeah, that doesn't make us blind and completely distant from the fact that, yeah, it's not a fun season for the people who are doing it and being asked to go through all of the rigorous steps to make it happen and all of the risks involved. So, you know, it's a dicey situation, man. And you just got to hope for the best, because, like I said, you know, a few minutes ago, there's a lot of games being postponed right now. And I don't know if this new set of rules the league put down yesterday is going to have enough of an impact to stop the spread.
If there's anybody I got faith in, or any league that I'm willing to give some credit to and have some patience, it's the NBA, because they pulled this off before and they've been out in front of it since the very start of it. So I will be very patient and see what the NBA continues to try to do, Matt. But for the rest of the episode, we're going to lighten it up a little bit. I know COVID talk is probably not what you were here for, but it is. It's the main story in the NBA right now, and it's affected the Bulls in multiple scenarios already to start this season. Only 10 games in, but we want to get to your questions, your mailbag questions, your text, your voicemails, your emails, everything that you guys have sent us over the last week, even yesterday's development at the end of the episode. We've got a ton of reaction from that. But before we do that, Matt, want to tell our friends about betonline.ag. The NFL playoffs is well underway. College football just wrapped up. So if you want to see your early predictions for future odds for the 2022 championship, those are already out at betonline.ag. The only place to bet on everything in the NBA this season is at betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for 50% welcome bonus. So if you want to sign up for an account today, I will give you one pick right now that intrigues me a ton. I've already got money on it too tonight. So I took a parlay in which both LaMelo Ball of the Charlotte Hornets and Kevin Durant of the Brooklyn Nets score a triple-double tonight. If both of those guys do that, it's 164-1 odds. You bet $10, you win over $1,600. So $1,600 for two guys to nail a triple-double. Both have done it in the last couple of weeks. So if you want to do that at betonline.ag. Use your welcome bonus as well. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you'll get 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in the action. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sports book experts. Should we take a voicemail first, Matt?
Let's do it.
Hey guys, this is Kenny from Atlanta. I was just calling to see I was looking at Bleacher Report and all that, and I saw that Jeremy Lin signed with the, you know, the G League and all that stuff. A couple of players like Michael Beasley, Lance Stevenson, someone else I saw signing with the G League. What do you guys think about if some way, somehow, the Bulls were able to get Jeremy Lin, bringing him in as some sort of point guard option? Because, I mean, don't really have much right now, honestly. But, you know, just wanted to get your thoughts on that. Also, I was listening to an episode earlier this week, and I heard Jordan say something about, you know, I think the Bulls at the time were 3-4, but it was an ugly 3-4. And no, like, knock to anybody, no offense to anybody, but, like, would you have that ugly 3-4? Or would you rather have, you know, 4-20 like it was whatever year it was? Like, I don't know.
We could be worse right now.
Lucky to be 3-4 or 3-4. It's now 4-5. It, you know, we're lucky to have that much. So, yeah, that's all I got.
All right. Thanks for the call, Alan. Kenny from Atlanta. Just to quickly address that, I know I'm with you, man. Like, wins are, as Jim Boylan would love to put it, wins are always good, right?
Wins are always good.
But if you're not getting anywhere with those empty wins, that's my meaning with those first few games. But I've been thoroughly impressed by the West Coast road trip, so my positivity is reinvigorated. But Matt, we talked about the G League yesterday. What did you think about the Bulls' maybe long-term plans of signing one of these vets should they end up dealing a couple of the guys on their roster heading into the trade deadline?
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, Kenny brings up a good point. You know, it could be a worse... And I don't think the Bulls are going to be, you know, going from 4-7 like they are today to 4-20. I would be shocked if that happens. But I think you and I were more so talking about the not so impressive collection of those three wins. It's like, you know, you beat the Wizards twice. The Wizards are a mess. And you beat the Mavs, who didn't have Luka or Kristaps. So it's like, okay, yeah, you got three wins, but like, whoop de freaking do. And at that point, their other losses, two of the three or four had been bad blowout losses. I think that's kind of where our sentiment was coming from. As for G League and the veterans in the G League, Jeremy Lin in particular, you know, as Kenny said, this team is still kind of looking for some point guard help. I don't know. Jeremy Lin doesn't really do it for me. I think we all enjoyed that season he had with the Knicks back in, what was that, like 11-12? God, that was forever ago now. You know, the Lin sanity and the fact that he followed that up with a couple of decent seasons with Houston. But I mean, he didn't play in the league at all last season. He played 70-some games between Atlanta and Toronto in 18-19. The season before that, he only played one game for Brooklyn in 17-18. I just, like, I'm not running out the door to you know, sign Jeremy Lin. I think brought up the name Lance Stevenson. Over my dead body is Lance Stevenson ever putting on a Bulls jersey.
To your point about Jeremy Lin, yeah, I don't know about production-wise. I think the only reason why you would sign him is to just kind of come in and be a mentor the same way he was to Trae Young in his rookie season back in Atlanta. But if Jeremy Lin's looking to get back into the NBA, I'm sure there's a handful of contending teams that would like to stick him at the end of the bench, even if he doesn't play ever, just have him as a reserve in another mind that is a good point guard mind to have on a team that's headed to the playoffs. So I'm thinking like his reunion with Golden State. Golden State loves him, especially if they expand these rosters. So I don't know if any vets are going to come here that are worth signing for the Bulls' sake. So if I'm looking to add somebody from the G League, it's a guy like Admiral Schofield or a younger player with a high upside that the Bulls could turn into at a cheap cost. Maybe something, you know, see what the player development can actually do now that we've got new pieces in place here and see what AK truly believes in some of these young guys. That would be my route as opposed to going and signing a vet.
Yeah, because I think your veteran leadership is already here. You have Otto and Thad Young. You added Garrett Temple, who there's already so much evidence from the mouths of the younger players that Garrett Temple is doing wonders with his leadership role on this team already. So I don't think you really need that in the form of another vet on the G League team. I think to me it's more about what we discussed yesterday with you know, the Bulls trying to, you know, maybe add a couple of potential diamond in the rough players to a G League roster and not necessarily worry about this one shortened G League bubble season that the Bulls are voluntarily skipping, but maybe a year from now when the Windy City Bulls get back to some semblance of normalcy and using that as sort of a baseball-esque farm system for this young team that's starting all over again under new management. But we appreciate the call, Kenny. Thanks for checking in. Jordan, before we get to some more mailbag stuff, wanted to tell our listeners about our great friends at Built Bar. You guys may have seen a tweet from me the other day with some of our latest products from Built Bar that they are kind enough to send to us, the hosts of the Locked On Podcast Network. And maybe you guys were a little bit intrigued to check some of that out and head over and place your order at BuiltBar.com. Not only do they have those amazing, delicious Built Bars, the protein bars that taste like a candy bar with flavors like lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, cookies and cream, apple almond crisp, some of the OG flavors, mint brownie. Jordan, I know that's one of your favorites. Salted caramel, toffee almond, and peanut butter brownie. They also have the amazing Built Go protein gel and that Built Boost Immune Plus dietary supplement. You know, just like that powder that you put into a tall glass of water. Maybe you take once or twice a day for a great dietary supplement to keep you healthy, especially during these winter months in Chicago. You want to boost that immune system. A variety of amazing products from our friends at Built Bar. Those Built Bars are great for the healthy conscious sports fan out there. You can lose or maintain your weight while indulging in these delicious treats. The Built Bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet, if that's your thing. Take, for example, that peanut butter bar. 19 whole grams of protein, while only 180 calories. 5 grams of sugar and just 5 grams of net carbs. Right now, our Locked On Bulls listeners, if they go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, we'll get 20% off their next order. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Quickly, Jeremy Lin, 43 games in the CBA last season, averaged 22 points per game, shot 33.5% from three. So not bad, but it's Chinese Basketball Association, so take it with a grain of salt. But thanks for the call, Kenny. Appreciate it. Let's go to another voicemail, Matt.
Hey, guys. Jack here again. I know second call within this week, but I just love listening to you guys, and I wanted to hear feedback on our defense, actually. So I understand right now, I think the least we gave up was 107. I think that was our record. But given this team where it stands right now, do you think this is something that will get better over time as our team kind of like gels and finds each other? Although this team, for the majority, has been together for nearly 3 years now. Or do you think this is something where we're going to have to add more pieces around us, whether that's trading or the draft or free agency or really any of those routes? So as far as our defense stands, do you think this team's capable of being better? And just over time, it will get better? Because I know the last recent games, whether that's the Kings or whoever we've played, it's got consistently better over time, I guess. But it's just still not, it's not where we need it to be. And so, yeah, is this going to be something that will gel over time, or is this something we're going to have to address via different players? And I'd love to hear guys' response, and go Bulls, and keep it up, guys. You guys are the first podcast I look in the morning to see if any new episodes to listen to, because I go listen to you guys. So keep it up, and go Bulls.
Appreciate the call. Thanks for doing that. Yeah, stay subscribed to our podcast, too. I know some people had some issues as soon as we tweeted out. Sometimes the feed doesn't update. A lot of the platforms don't update for maybe like 15 to 30 minutes. I know Apple's kind of the worst at that. So, yeah, make sure you're subscribed. You'll get the episodes right away. But, Matt, what do you think? Like, I think we've talked about this a handful of times already throughout this season. It's just the fact that this Bulls team now, I know it's only 10 games in, but we're seeing incremental improvements game to game from these guys that we were not seeing under Jim Boylan, and that I didn't frankly think we were seeing under Fred Hoiberg at all.
Yeah, I mean, you can see evidence of individual improvements on the defensive end from certain players. You know, namely, Zach LaVine's engagement on the defensive end has been noticeably better, in my opinion, this season. Yes, he still has some of those blunders, especially when he's playing off the ball on the defensive end, but his intensity level is up. He's getting his hands in some passing lanes. He's creating some turnovers, and he's playing respectable, if not great, one-on-one defense. Obviously, the addition of Patrick Williams, even though he's a 19-year-old rookie, has certainly excited certain moments on the defensive end. Gafford has some of those, you know, wow moments where he's blocking shots with his size and athleticism. The health up until recently, unfortunately, of Otto Porter Jr. also shows some improvements on the defensive end, because we know how valuable he could be and how versatile he is. Thad Young has given the Bulls really solid minutes defensively with his, you know, his ability to even play some small ball five at times. He's already, you know, drawn several charges in his spot minutes this season. So all that being said, yes, there are little bits and pieces that you could point to about the defense and some improvements. I think, despite some people calling him out, especially, you know, in knowing when to go more to drop and when to pressure on ball screens towards the top of the key, Wendell Carter has also shown some improvements. But the bottom line is that the Bulls are the 29th ranked defensive team in the NBA of 30, as far as defensive rating as of today, Wednesday, January 13th. 29th in defensive rating. They are giving up a lot of points. I mean, I think it's something that we all acknowledged would be the case this season. A young team, new leadership, new coaching, and a new defensive system that, you know, is kind of a blend of a few different defensive systems. There was going to be an adjustment period for sure. And it's not like they have any, you know, defensive like A or A plus players to kind of make up for the collective adjustment period as a whole unit. So the defense, it's been a mixture. You see some little bright pieces and spots of improvement, but all in all, there's no denying that as a team, this team is not good defensively right now.
It's going to be something that they're going to have to improve on. And it's something that these guys have talked about a lot. And you already see it a couple of different times in areas where they're coming out and they're fighting on defense too, even when shots aren't falling. What we see in the first 10 games, I'm hoping, is staunchly different on the defensive side of the ball in the last 10 games of this season, whenever that is. I think that's a huge plus if we can do that, especially under a first-year head coach, first year of new management. And again, I don't know what this roster is going to look like at the end of the season either. So what I would say is be patient. Don't worry too much necessarily about what you see now and applying that to the future of this team, because again, we don't really know what this roster is going to look like 12 months from now.
Not a clue. And I think you and I are both in the camp that believe that the roster will look pretty different 12 to 15 months from now.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's squeeze one more voicemail in here before we go to some texts.
Hey fellas, Micah from the 720. Just wanted to say on tonight's game, wow, that was a hell of a gutty performance by those young kids tonight. Zach, Kobe, P. Will, Temple, and Thaddeus off the bench. Just an all-around great, great win. You see that even though Kobe didn't have the assist, the backcourt as a whole, Zach and Kobe really, really just stepped up. I think it goes under the radar. People want to call Dame Lillard had a bad shooting night. Fine, whatever. I'll go with that. But defense at Temple, who we've seen already plays great defense, well, really good defense already, perimeter defense. And Zach's defense tonight on the perimeter and just in general this season has been much, much better, especially his on-ball defense has been more tenacious. Definitely want to see Wendell closing some of those gaps on those high pick and rolls, but you know, overall, just a really great performance. Hopefully, we can keep it going on this West Coast trip, which generally kind of slaps us in the face. So, good win. Go Bulls. And talk to you guys later.
Thanks for the call, Micah. Regular listener as well. I don't have much to add to that, Matt. That was from before, right after the Trailblazers game to start the West Coast road trip. But he's right about everything that he said so far. I don't have much to add. It was a great win, like we had talked about.
Great win. And, you know, on the, you know, counter side of what we were just talking about with our previous caller and the Bulls defense, some positive, you know, some positive signs on the defensive end. in that Bulls win over the Blazers. Speaking of Zach LaVine and defense, Jordan, I think we have to address our last talking point from yesterday's episode, where we were just kind of spitballing with some fun hypotheticals, which, you know, we know our listeners also love to engage in, and Bulls Twitter loves to engage in. And guess what? Zach LaVine's name is always involved because he is talented. He is good. He's on a team-friendly deal, and people talk about trading him all the time. So yesterday, you and I were just playing a fun game of would you rather with two guys who are also in some serious trade rumors currently and a lot recently, and that is Beal of the Wizards and McCollum of the Blazers, and saying, hey, if you had to give up Zach LaVine, which of these players would you rather get back? And we got plenty of responses in that Twitter poll that you put up on our Locked Up Bulls Twitter account. And we also got people chiming in our inbox. This comes to us from the 720. Hey, fellas, just finished listening to your latest episode where you brought up McCollum versus Beal in a trade for LaVine. And why would you make that trade for either? Zach is younger than both. How good will he be at their age? There's no way I'm trading Zach for either of these two, who are phenomenal players in their own right. I just see Zach's ceiling as higher. If we're not ready to win right now with Zach, what guarantees that we'll be ready with either of them? If we're trading Zach, can it please be for future draft capital or Steph Curry? Well, there's a big ask.
Seriously?
Thanks for checking in on the text line. And Jordan, I think we have this Curry, is one seriously? Of several responses from people just saying, hey, I'd rather just keep Zach.
I was actually shocked by that, and I'm, you know, if we had more time yesterday, we were already backing up to that, and I didn't think that it was going to go that way, our conversation at the end of the episode, but yeah, that's something that we didn't consider either, is like, how do people feel about Zach? Would they rather have him than both of those guys building forward? And again, I was thinking more in terms of just the players, like not even considering their contracts, contract status and how that would affect the Bulls. I was thinking just more of the players and how you build around those guys. I mean, out of those three, again, I'll throw the question out there for those who didn't listen to the episode yesterday, but who would you rather have long-term if you had to include Zach LaVine in a deal? And I can almost guarantee that you would have to for either of these guys, Bradley Beal, CJ McCollum. And then I asked too, I said, like, who is the more attractive piece among those guys for Kawhi Leonard this offseason? Is it CJ McCollum or Bradley Beal? Got a lot of interesting responses, Matt. And I didn't expect Bulls fans who voted and didn't vote for Zach LaVine, I didn't expect it to be overwhelming for Bradley Beal. I can understand it, but I think people just, either it's a matter of haven't watched Portland consistently this year and last year in the bubble, but CJ McCollum is playing out of his mind to start this season, man.
Yeah, and I think I would probably take him a little bit over Beal on the defensive end as well. Our Dexter brings up a great point in that Zach is younger and cheaper than both of these guys right now. And neither of us were advocating for making either of those trades yesterday. We were just, you know, playing a fun game. So, the 815 chimes in saying, I have to stick with Zach. He's 2 years younger than Beal and is the same level of score as Beal already. I might take issue with that, but maybe you're not that far off. Beal is a better playmaker, but the hope is that Zach will catch up within 2 years. CJ is great, but at this point, I think he's maxed his potential. Now, here's an interesting twist. The one player I would like to get if Zach LaVine is traded or if a Zach LaVine trade is inevitable would be Caris LeVert. The guy can score, pass, play defense, and play with great pace, and he's even younger than Zach. Thanks, guys. So somebody else chiming in saying he'd keep Zach over Beal and CJ also, but name-dropping a little Caris LeVert as somebody he'd be okay with getting if you had to trade Zach.
Caris LeSwerve, he's going to be headed to Houston if they end up dealing for Harden, but it doesn't sound like Houston wants anything to do with Kyrie Irving either, so that might be a sticking point in trying to trade there. But I mean, then again, this could be the perfect opportunity for the Bulls to kind of sneak their way in and say, hey, we'll be the third team. Let's see what we can take advantage of here. I've watched Caris LeVert and that Nets team play. He's really good when he's the number one guy out there, when KD and Kyrie aren't playing or he's coming off with the second unit, but having to play second or third fiddle, man, he isn't great. He's a consistent scorer, good passer, great rebounder, quick as hell and long and athletic, but inconsistent again. He reminds me a decent amount of Zach, like trying to play with other guys that are score first options too. So, I mean, I don't hate Caris LeVert, but again, limited playoff experience. He's only got one All-Star appearance, ACL torn. He's not an established star like CJ or Bradley Beal are. And that's to go back to the point of CJ McCollum, man. I would be getting him on top of his star ability, his ability to shoot the three, play defense, and plug yourself right next to Coby White. He's got a ton of playoff experience, man. A ton in a really, really difficult West.
Yeah. I think you're right, though. I mean, if I'm Houston, why would I want to get rid of the James Harden headache and replace it with a Kyrie Irving headache? Like, I mean, these two guys are all over the place right now, and you don't know that you can rely on them. And, you know, it's obviously an awful situation for Brooklyn, considering that between what they're committing financially to Kyrie and KD, who chose to go there and play together after, you know, Durant's lost season to the Achilles. If you look at what Durant is doing so far this season, like he's damn near, you know, 30-point triple-double, Durant. He's damn near close to already being back to MVP-level Durant. And coming off of a torn Achilles, that is far from a guarantee. It's anything but a guarantee. And now to have that version of Durant saying, all right, I'm ready to go, let's roll, and you got to deal with his Kyrie business? Personal reasons excused. You know, the league now looking into and investigating his behavior when he has been excused from the team on personal business. And meanwhile, Houston just has to deal with that Harden press conference from last night saying, I've given everything I can to this city. I can't see a way that it's fixed. I got to go. Like, what? Man, I honestly, just kind of looking at all of that stuff, it is the headache that comes along with having some of these superstars in the league. And the Bulls don't have one. So there are pluses and minuses to not having a superstar. You don't have to deal with that kind of shit. But, man, I don't know where either of those teams go from here. And I would be wary, to say the least, if I'm AK and Eversley, to entertain anything regarding trades for either of those two guys.
It's going to be weird, man. I don't know what... It's like Harden versus the Rockets are squaring off, and it's like, who's going to give an inch first? And the Rockets kind of have their hands... Harden does too, but the Rockets can't do much if teams can't deal for him and find fair value, and they're not just going to move him just to move him, even if he's unhappy. So, again, I'm glad we're not the Rockets, man, at least at this point. I want to read this text, and then I want to throw something at you that involves the Rockets again. This one's from the 815. It says, guys, I was wrong about Zach LaVine. He is not an empty calorie scorer. He has been absolutely balling out right now. The offense has been better when he's the main ball handler and Coby is off the ball. I've been resilient to give Zach any credit, but I love the way he has been playing. I used to hope for Zach trade ASAP. Now I have no idea what I want the Bulls to do with him. For the first time in a while, I'm actually cheering for the Bulls to win instead of hoping for a top pick. If LaVine is traded, what kind of trade package would you feel comfortable with dealing him? Because by trading him, you somewhat restart a tank rebuild, which sounds exhausting. Thanks, go Bulls. That's from Dan. I do agree with him, Matt. Like, this conversation's about trading Zach LaVine. The other thing that we have to talk about is, I mean, are fans going to really willing to accept the Bulls doing this twice now, is dealing your best player off? Like, they just did that with Butler a little over 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago. I mean, I get why they would want to do that long term, but man, it's hard to convince people that haven't been paying attention to this rebuild to say, hey, yeah, we traded Zach for a bunch of future picks and some young assets, and that's the second time we've done that in a matter of 5 years, is trading our best player. I'm kind of with Dan, though. Like, Zach has continued to impress me, and now I'm in a situation where I don't know what I want the Bulls to do. Keep him, trade him, but I definitely think if they trade him, they need to be the winners of that deal, no doubt about it.
Yeah, and while I think we believed years ago, maybe even a year ago, the Bulls came out on top of that Jimmy trade, I think you can easily make the counter argument at this point that they did not. And some of that remains to be seen, whether or not we're finally going to get the Lauri Markkanen that we Lauri believers wanted to get out of that deal. And you cannot deny that they got themselves a elite level offensive player in Zach LaVine in that deal. So like, you hit on one and you may hit on two and the third, Chris Dunn, is gone already. So, you know, revisionist history, maybe the Bulls didn't win that Jimmy trade. But I think, you know, you and our texter bring up a good point in that what are we doing if we're just going to, you know, trade off our best player again to start over? Well, there's a difference in my opinion, because with the Jimmy situation, you were trading off your best player on a team that was going nowhere. And, you know, those Bulls fans who thought that they were going somewhere when they had a 2-0 lead on Boston in the 3-alpha season, I politely invite you to shut the fuck up, because no, that team was going nowhere. They had to scrape and claw through a million, you know, layers of dysfunction and Jimmy's divaness to get a 500 record 8 seed on a tiebreaker. Oh, they were going places. They were gunning for a title. No, they weren't. So you were trading your best player away from a team that was stuck in 8 seed mediocrity and deciding to start completely from scratch. Now you are considering trading away, yes, your still currently best asset and best player, this time Zach instead of Jimmy, but on a rebuild that has essentially gotten nowhere, which is not the fault of the current regime. It is the fault of the, thank God, now former regime. So if the new regime wants to say, you know what, we're going to take the most valuable asset from the old regime and use it to, in our design and in our scheme, start over even more, like really, really start over in our vision. Those two things are different, in my opinion.
I think in the case of Zach, especially now that we saw a lot of these guys sign extensions and that free agent pool in 2021 isn't as large and filled with superstars, stars, guys that you would see as an upgrade from LaVine, even if it's a slight upgrade, as opposed to sidestepping or downgrading for the future. I think fans were more comfortable then, but like now that you see all these extensions being handed out, guys staying in the same places that they're at, and not a whole lot of teams talking about stars being dealt outside of Harden. John Wall was already dealt. There isn't much out there. So like for the Bulls, they really, if they're going to deal LaVine, again, I will say this, they need to make sure, for me, that they're upgrading. I think it needs to be an upgrade. You need to go out and get a star, even if that means having to trade multiple pieces along with Zach to get better. But I think recycling and trying to pitch to your fan base to be patient again in year four, as much as we've been doing that this year with what we're seeing on the floor, doing that again, either midway through this season or at the end of the offseason in dealing Zach and either sidestepping or downgrading for the near future, I don't know how you sell that to Bulls fans. I really don't, especially the ones that have been patient through all of this and sat here and listened to our podcast 5 days a week or talking about blowout losses and a clown for a head coach. Like, I just don't know how you sell that as a secondary phase to a rebuild. As a logical person, I can understand it. It's just a tough ask from Bulls fans. And I don't know if AK or Mark Eversley are willing to do that without upgrading. So I would hope that that's their plan. And again, be very, very patient, because there's no rush in having to deal LaVine. He's still under contract through next season. So again, be very, very patient. No need to panic.
Yeah. And I think that is something that needs to be reminded to the fan base as frequently as possible, as emphatically as possible, especially considering that some of this fan base was ready to chase AK and Eversley out of town in, oh, I don't know, June, when they had been on the job for all of 2 months during a league shutdown, during a pandemic, and they haven't done anything yet. Why are they here if they're not going to do anything? Yeah, and I used that stupid, silly voice to mock that part of the fan base that was that impatient and that stupid. So,
and these guys are men.
Knowing all of that, let us once again remind ourselves, give AK and Eversley time. As my buddy Big Dave would say, let them cook. We do not, panic every minute and every day. Shut up, Jim. Like you said, there is time for all of these decisions to play out. And oh God, the suddenly, you know, gigantic and massive Avengers level free agent class of 2021 isn't what we thought it might be a couple years ago. And that sucks. There are other ways to move forward. The most important thing is that we have better people and smarter minds with more connections across the league as the ones making the decisions moving forward. That's what matters.
Quickly, before we get out of here, any thoughts on dealing for Harden or picking up the phone, at least for AK or Mark Eversley, picking up the phone and saying, hey, what is it going to cost? Or even if the Bulls want to be the third team and they're not the guy that lands Harden. What do you think? Like, because Bulls fans are already tweeting at me, DMing me this morning. What does it cost for right now if they can't find a deal to send him to the Nets? What would it cost the Bulls for the Rockets to be thoroughly intrigued to deal Harden?
God, I don't know. I mean, as you're saying that, we just got new tweets from Mark Stein saying Coach Steven Silas said the Rockets decided it was in the team's best interest for Harden not to come to practice today. Meanwhile, you got Shams saying the Rockets are sifting through a potential deal soon with Philly and Brooklyn being the two largest suitors at the moment. I don't want to go anywhere near this James Harden mess as a Bulls fan. I know some Bulls fans saying, like, dude, he's James Harden. He's a walking playoff berth by himself. He is a perennial MVP candidate. While all of that may be true, he is going to cost a fortune in trade assets in addition to the actual costing a fortune of his contract. And I'm sorry, I want to see this new front office try to build a championship team. Build a championship team. And yes, that will require more talent and more star talent than this roster currently has. We all know that. I ain't stupid. And Harden certainly gets you closer and moves the needle a little bit as far as superstar talent. But we have all seen him time and again fall short of leading his teams to championships. No matter what they do and how they coddle Harden and give him what he wants, and give him the players he wants around him, he falls short every single year. So would sure be fun to see the Bulls back in the playoffs again, and Harden could probably almost certainly get you that. But beyond that, headaches, cap restraints, you know, mortgaging your future when you finally got a new front office in place, I'm not in favor of any of that.
I just saw somebody say, and they tweeted out a picture of Harden last night, and said, says, report, James Harden was not at practice today. First reply underneath it from Arturis Karnashovas' fan club. Shout out to him, by the way. He's all over Bulls Twitter. It says he's at an Old Country kitchen buffet, and it's a picture of him last night. Like, that is brutal. I'm with you, man. Like, I don't know. It sounds weird, but I think I would rather the same amount of assets you're going to have to give up to get Harden. I think I would rather pick up the phone and call the Wizards or call the Trailblazers about either one of those guys. They're not the Trailblazers are going to fart in the phone, hang up on you. But maybe 2 months from now, they might not. So the Wizards might be more intriguing to talk to them about Bradley Beal. I'd be more willing to give up assets for him as opposed to trying to figure out what you're going to have to give up for Harden, because Harden, they're already asking for 3 first round picks on top of Kyrie Irving from the Nets. So I would assume from the Bulls, they're going to ask for LaVine, either Wendell or Lowry, 3 first round picks. And you probably got to throw Otto into that deal too. So are you willing to do that? Are you willing to split with one of your front court pieces, Otto on his remainder deal, Zach and 3 first rounders? That's what I think it would cost you.
The good news is, it sounds like it'll just be, you know, maybe a matter of days until this is done and we can eliminate the Bulls from even speculation. We know the Bulls aren't trading for Harden, but just entertaining that thought, because another tweet just now as we wrap up from Adrian Wojnarowski, just after 1 p.m. Central Time, the Rockets are planning to keep Harden away until a trade is done, with front office weighing the best final offers from Brooklyn and Philadelphia. Sources tell Ramona Shelburne and me, the process is moving quickly now. James Harden may only be a Rocket for a few more hours. He could be somewhere else at the end of today. That's what it sounds like.
He's a baller. He balls.
I guess we're just going to have to find out. As far as the Bulls go, still no games till Friday. Have to go up against OKC. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit more tomorrow and in Friday's episode. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us at 331-979-1369. Tweets at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls_Peck, and at LockedOnBulls. Thanks again to our friends at betonline.ag, CBDMD, and Built Bar for all the things that they've done for us over the past several months. and for continuing to support the show as well as you guys do. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
I think the Bulls ought to trade up and get Ball. I like Ball.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Thanks a lot.